You don't need to be a lawyer to benefit from a legal education, especially in human resources. At Texas A&M School of Law, we built our online Master of Legal Studies specifically to give non-lawyers like you a competitive edge. With a focus on HR and employment law policy and management, you'll gain a better understanding of the legal complexities every HR team faces. Get the legal skills it takes to get ahead in HR at Texas A&M School of Law. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more. If you need to know the law to advance your career, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, our Master of Legal Studies programs offer the legal education you need to advance your career in some of the most heavily regulated industries in the world. Health law, real estate law, energy law, HR law, risk management law, and more. We provide the legal education and insight non-lawyers like you need to get ahead. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more. If you need to know the law to advance your career in the healthcare industry, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, we offer a Master of Legal Studies with a focus on health law policy and management. It's specifically designed to help non-lawyers like you navigate the legal issues facing this heavily regulated industry. Gain the legal skills you need to advance your healthcare career from one of the most respected law schools in the nation. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more. If you need to know the law to advance your career, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, our Master of Legal Studies programs offer the legal education you need to advance your career in some of the most heavily regulated industries in the world. Health law, real estate law, energy law, HR law, risk management law, and more. We provide the legal education and insight non-lawyers like you need to get ahead. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more. If you need to know the law to advance your career in the healthcare industry, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, we offer a Master of Legal Studies with a focus on health law policy and management. It's specifically designed to help non-lawyers like you navigate the legal issues facing this heavily regulated industry. Gain the legal skills you need to advance your healthcare career from one of the most respected law schools in the nation. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Rain Cruz. Rain is a wrestling ring announcer for independent wrestling promotions, and also she's also the host of the Rain Check podcast and a voiceover artist. In 2001, she served as a guest ring announcer for the WWE pay-per-view SummerSlam. On the program, we discuss her upbringing, love for professional wrestling, also winning the WWE announcer contest, her 2021 SummerSlam experience, and much more. Rain is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
There said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergen.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
If you need to know the law to advance your career in the healthcare industry, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, we offer a Master of Legal Studies with a focus on health law policy and management. It's specifically designed to help non-lawyers like you navigate the legal issues facing this heavily regulated industry. Gain the legal skills you need to advance your healthcare career from one of the most respected law schools in the nation. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.
Come
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of Rain Cruz's official YouTube channel, which is titled Ringside Rain. And you heard that audio that you heard was from a SummerSlam not too long ago, which was an event held by World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE, where she won the guest ring announcer contest for that event. And we'll talk to her more about that in just a little bit. Also, we'll talk about the podcast that she has called The Rain Check, and amongst other things. Let's welcome her to the program. She's a ring announcer, and she's also a big professional wrestling fan and the host of the podcast exclusively on YouTube called The Rain Check. Let's welcome her to the program, Rain Cruz. Hello, Rain. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. As I stated earlier, we're going to talk about your love for professional wrestling and being a wrestling ring announcer and, of course, winning the contest with the WWE in just a moment. But I want to start off with your upbringing. What was your upbringing like?
Oh, so for me, I was raised by my grandparents. So I was born and raised in the Philippines, and I was there until I was 18. It was really interesting, growing up. I was always with my grandpa. He would always watch some action films, and I think I just kind of liked the aspect of like these actors like pretending that they were hurt, you know. Because every single day we would rent a tape and watch all these action films. And I think that kind of, started my love for, pro wrestling in a sense. Because I was just fascinated about these people that were pretending they were hurt, on the action movies.
You're absolutely right about that, Rain. And you mentioned about action heroes and just watching action films. And it's kind of like a metaphor for professional wrestling, which is an athletic choreography. You mentioned about you growing up in the Philippines, and when I think about the Philippines and specifically the sports world, the first person that comes to my mind is the Pac-Man, Manny Pacquiao. I want to ask you, what's his presence like and what impact does he have on the Philippines? Because we saw it when he was in the boxing world, and then he's transitioned into politics and also the entertainment world where he's become a singer. So what is his impact like, not just on you, but more importantly on the Filipino community?
Oh, wow. I remember when he became a spotlight in the boxing world, it was just, we took so much pride on that one because, I feel like for us Filipinos, Manny Pacquiao, put up a flag right there, and he was very talented. And I remember, when he was starting out, I was still, in the Philippines, and every time he had a fight, it would always be around Sunday morning in the Philippines, with the time difference. I think Saturday night here, it would be around 9 in the morning in the Philippines, and the streets would be empty. Because everyone's just watching his fight, and just the impact of this one person bringing everyone together, bringing the whole country together. It's really, really cool to experience because it's basically a holiday for us every time Pacquiao had to fight.
You're absolutely right about that, and just watching his matches on television for so many years, it just seemed like in an event or a big party whenever Manny would be fighting, a lot of the Filipino community would definitely be out, as you stated so well, Rain. And I want to stay just with the Philippines for a moment. Not only watching Manny throughout the years, but even some Filipino fighters, there's a language, I was doing my research on Filipino, the official language, and it's something called Tagalog. Can you explain to the listeners what Tagalog is and just its origins, if you can do so, ma'am?
It's pronounced Tagalog, so it's that Girl Scout cookie called Tagalongs? It's basically, Tagalog, without the N. But the origins of Tagalog, I honestly don't know. But where I'm from, we mostly spoke that language. There's different dialects in the Philippines, but where I'm from the northern island. There's three main islands, and I'm from the northern island. I grew up close to Manila, which is the capital city, And my grandparents who raised me, they actually came from a province called Bulacan, which they spoke Tagalog there very heavily. To the point where, and I, when I actually speak Tagalog, I do have an accent, like as if I'm like from the country, like from the countryside, basically. I think that's how my grandparents were. They spoke like words that were just like, city people don't really, they wouldn't really use it. But to me, I use those words. So now when I meet Filipinos here in the States, they're like, are you like from the countryside? Because no one really uses those words unless, they're from the countryside. Because they're like deep Tagalog words. But yeah, Tagalog is like the main language in the Philippines. And depending on where you're from, like which island you're from, then that's where you learn like different dialects. But for the most part, everyone speaks Tagalog, and it's close to Spanish, actually. My husband actually speaks Spanish, and whenever I do hear him, speak in Spanish, I do pick up some of, what he's saying, because I pick up, like, the words that I do speak in Tagalog, which is technically, Spanish, but we just pronounce it different.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for correcting me on that pronunciation, Tagalog. So, because I've always heard them say, because I always have watched boxing telecasts where they featured Filipino fighters and they had the interpreter, and they always pronounced it how I pronounced it before. But thank you for giving us the correct pronunciation, which is Tagalog. And I just want to stay with the Philippines for a moment. You mentioned about you grew up near Manila, and can you describe to the listeners out there, the atmosphere of Manila, because we know about the thrill in Manila, Ali and Frazier, and you mentioned that Manila is the capital of Philippines. So what's the scene like in Manila?
So I grew up in a city called Valenzuela, like Fernando Valenzuela. It's not named after Fernando Valenzuela, but the name of the city is Valenzuela, which is, it used to be part of Manila, and then we became our own city. But yeah, growing up in Manila, it's really cool. There's a lot of like history, there's like churches that are humongous, and it's been there since, like, so when you walk into these churches, you would, you'd see how big they are, and you can tell there's so much history based on the structures alone. I feel like Manila, what's the best city to, we just came back from Mexico, saloon for our honeymoon, and it did remind me a lot of Manila, like how busy the streets were, and you see like a lot of like foreigners too kind of walking around, because I feel like Manila is like very accessible to foreigners. I mean, a lot of people in the Philippines speak English. As soon as you start going to school, they teach you that right away. It's part of the curriculum. So like if or when you are in Manila, you wouldn't get lost, basically, because everyone would be, speaking English, and there's a lot of signs in English, and, if you're down to, like, take, like, the public transportation, we have, like, the jeepney, and it's, not just around Manila, but, like, all over the country. That's, like, the main, that's, like, the most popular form of transportation. And, yeah, they're colorful, and I think right before I left, they started having air-conditioned jeepneys, but for the most part, they weren't when I was still living there. But, whenever I was in Manila, I would see, like, a bunch of tourists. They wanted to try out the jeepney, ride a jeepney. Manila, busy streets, a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, there's, like, kind of, like, sides that are, you can tell they're, like, not yet fully developed, but there are, like, touristy spots now in Manila. Because, like, whenever I go back now, I would see, like, a difference. Because I moved here in 2007, and, I would go back every now and then, and I would see the difference, the developments that have happened throughout the years.
Awesome. Thank you so much for explaining that to me and the listeners out there just about Manila. And I want to stay just with, not just with Manila, but just with the Philippines for a moment. We know the Philippines is a part of Asia, and it's, the weather is pretty humid for the most part. What's the weather like in the Philippines? Is it humid, very tropical, or is it similar to California weather where it's not too humid, but it's near perfect?
It's very tropical. Honestly, when we were in Tulum, in Mexico, it reminded me of how hot and humid the Philippines can get, especially during summertime.
Okay, and then, because I've been following up, reading up on things here and there, watching things on the Philippines, and instead of, it's hot, it's humid, it's very tropical. And another thing that I want to state just with the Philippines for a moment, another unique element of your homeland is the food. Can you explain to the listeners some of the most popular dishes that come from the Philippines?
So let's see. Usually when I meet someone who's not from the Philippines, they tell me they like adobo, which is basically either pork or chicken, and it's marinated in vinegar and soy sauce and bay leaf and garlic. It's really, really good with rice. There's also lumpias, which is basically our version of egg rolls, but this one is filled with meat and, some thinly sliced veggies. And it's deep fried. We also have the pancit, which is our version of chow mein. So the pancit can, depending on where you're from in the Philippines, there's different ways of prepping the pancit. Where I'm from, we use like a really thin rice noodles to make pancit. But so it's rice noodles and either shrimp or pork and then some veggies. Or, some places in the Philippines, they use like thicker noodles and, their pancit can come with like a thicker sauce, whereas where I'm from, it's more of like on a drier side. We also have this is my favorite dessert. It's called halo halo, which literally translates to mix mix, because halo means mix. So, we call it halo halo because the way you eat it, or right before you eat it, you have to mix all the ingredients that are stacked on top of each other. So it's a bunch of, like, sweet stuff, like sweet beans and then coconut jelly and jackfruit and then more sweet beans and then, they'll put sugar there and then they'll top it with ice and depending if, where you get it, sometimes they put flan on top or ice cream and they'll put milk. And then the way you eat it is you mix the whole thing together. So you have this giant cup with this, with a giant spoon and just mix it all the way while you're eating it. That one's really good. I haven't found a place sitting here in the States that, I can really go to all the time and to get my halo halo. So every time I'm in the Philippines, that's the first thing I would usually look for, halo halo. We also have like a popular fast food chain called Jollibee. So that's our version of McDonald's. And, they do have it here in the States. We have like fried chicken and, there's spicy fried chicken and you can get it with rice and, or Filipino spaghetti, which is, on the sweeter side with hot dogs. And, they do sell, pies, peach mango pies and, I wanted to have coconut pies too. I might be wrong with that, but for the most part, the food's really good. Obviously I'm biased because I'm from there. But my husband, he enjoys Filipino food. He's born and raised here. He's a Mexican American, and he enjoys Filipino food. So.
Wow, the dishes that you made were so amazing. It sounds like a lot of flavor and a lot of seasonings in the Filipino food, definitely. Hopefully you get your hands on some more Filipino food in the States real soon. And while we're talking about the Philippines and your upbringing, you mentioned about growing up, you loved watching action heroes and specifically watching action films with your grandparents. And this goes into the next topic I want to talk about, your love for professional wrestling. How did you develop a love for the sport of professional wrestling?
So it started around 2006. I was taking taekwondo lessons, and I sprained my ankle. And so I was just at home, and I was flipping through the channels. And this is the year before I moved to the U.S. So I was looking for, like, English programs that could help me practice my English. So I scroll through the channels, and then next thing I see John Cena on Monday Night Raw. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then, like, you know, in that day, because in the Philippines, they would show reruns of Raw and SmackDown and I'm trying to remember that other show they have, Velocity, I think, or Heat or something like that. But they would show that, like, on replay almost every day. So there's always, like, a replay of Raw or SmackDown or whatever. So I started just watching, you know, wrestling almost every day because they would have reruns, you know, every day. And, yeah, I just fell in love with it. And I think, and at that time, I didn't realize, you know, that it was something that's, you know, so I feel like someone told me later on. And it didn't really turn me off from watching it, mostly because, you know, like my analogy earlier, you know, my grandpa and I would watch action films. It's like, you know, we watch the movies knowing that this is a movie, this is a story, right? But you know, the actors, you know, they did their part so well, they played their part so well that you really, you know, suspended your disbelief that it's not a real, like, thing, right? But with wrestling, I fell in love with it more when I found out that, oh, it's, you know, it's scripted. It's amazing how the wrestlers, they're able to kind of show you, you know, like pain, you know, how they or how happy they are when they win a match. So I think fast forward to a few months after, they had a contest for SmackDown will be in the Philippines, and they had this contest of you send in a question to Dave Bautista, because Dave Bautista is half Filipino. You submit a question, and if they like your question, they'll, you know, you get to ask your question to Dave, you know, in person. And I remember at this time, there's no social media. This was 2006. There's no social media. What you needed to do was you have to submit your questions via text. At this time, the phones are like, you know, those phones that you have with the QWERTY keypads, those old Nokia phones. So I texted a bunch of questions, and next thing I know, I won the contest. There's five of us. You know, we were invited to meet Bautista at a hotel, at an event, and I got to ask my question to Bautista, and then, like, the next day after, I went to see my first WWE house show. And then, when I moved to the States the year after, wrestling made me feel at home in a sense because it was something that I started watching back home, like in the Philippines, which is kind of, like, weird, right? Because, like, you know, for the most part, like, I mean, WWE is based here in the U.S. So it just kind of reminded me of the times that, you know, I watched wrestling with my grandma, even though she wasn't really into it, but because she knew I loved it, there she would watch it with me. So, wrestling really, provided a piece of home for me.
Well, that's amazing how you stumbled upon the sport of professional wrestling, training for the martial arts, and you wind up getting hurt, and then you were watching this, all of a sudden you see John Cena, and then later you wind up seeing Bautista, and then it goes to show you the global impact of not just professional wrestling, but sports, and especially the WWE and how they're able to impact people's lives, and certainly you were impacted by that, and going to the house show for SmackDown, truly amazing. And I want to stay just with wrestling and specifically your favorite wrestlers growing up. So as you stated, you stumbled upon watching WWE, you saw John Cena, and then later you would become a fan of Bautista. You found out he was half Filipino. So aside from John Cena and Bautista, who were your favorite wrestlers coming up?
Trish Stratus. Trish and Lita, because to me, they were, you know, like, I remember seeing Trish Stratus, and I was like, oh, like, really interesting character, and, you know, at that time, she was one of the females that can actually wrestle. So her, Lita, and I remember when I first saw Bessie McSteel, I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, she's amazing, you know. So John Cena, Bautista, and Trish, Lita, and Bessie Nix. To me, it was, at that time when I started watching wrestling too, I remember seeing the women and I was like, okay, you know, it would be nice to kind of see, you know, someone, like, you know, a female wrestler, right? And that's when I saw Trish, Lita, and then Beth came out. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, they're different. They're not, like, just, like, you know, out there to, you know, kind of, you know, squat their bodies, right? Not, like, not just, like, eye candies. So that's why I really, really love them and their characters. Fascinated about Raylan Garcia. I remember watching Raw and seeing her and just seeing how she kind of commanded the crowd with her voice. And, you know, I always thought, man, this is amazing. Like, you know, like the way she talked and the way she, like, announced the matches and, like, everyone's just, like, listening to her, you know. You got all these dudes, like, coming out from the back going into the ring and she's, like, right there, like, commanding the crowd. And, yeah, to me, I think I remember watching, you know, wrestling, you know, back in 2006 and just kind of, like, thinking to myself, where do I fit in this world, you know? And I think I just had that question for the longest time in my head because I really loved it, you know? And it's like, I just knew I couldn't be a wrestler. Like, I'm not, like, that athletic to be a wrestler. And so I was just like, well, you know, maybe this is just something where I would just, like, become a fan, you know? And support it and express my love for it and, you know, one way or another.
Well, absolutely. You know, sometimes in life, not just whether it be in athletics, but just really in life in general, we always have to try things and experience new things to find our niches. And definitely you found your niche specifically in broadcasting and, of course, having a love for professional wrestling and getting into ring announcing, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But I want to talk about you becoming a wrestling ring announcer. You mentioned about being impacted or being influenced not only by your favorite wrestlers like John Cena, also Batista, Trish Stratus, also Lita and Beth Phoenix, but you also mentioned about Lillian Garcia, and Lillian is definitely one of my favorite ring announcers as well. She has a very commanding voice. I wanted to ask you, how did you stumble upon wanting to become a ring announcer? Was it through watching Lillian, or was this something that you developed as the years went on?
So, with ring announcing, it was never in, you know, it was never part of the plan. I just wanted to be a part of the show, of the wrestling scene. So when I, started in the, independent circuits, my first show, at least my first promotion, you know, I was very vocal about, hey, I want to be a manager, la, la, la. And my first promoter, he said, well, I don't have that spot for you right now, but I can have you come in as, like, a backstage reporter, you know, like someone who would interview the wrestlers before the matches or after the match. So that was my first show. My second show, this is my second promoter at this time, same thing. He's like, okay, well, I'll have you, like, interview, you know, the wrestlers, la, la, la. And so I remember my husband and I, we drove to Yuma, Arizona, and it was 4 hours away from where we lived. And we got there, you know, hanging out, and, like, 30 minutes before the show started, I asked the promoter, I was like, so who am I going to interview? And he's like, oh, we actually canceled that. And I was like, okay. Well, we drove for us to get here, anything else that I could do? And then he said, well, we don't have a ring announcer. And I was like, okay, well, I've never done it, but if you want, I can try, and if I suck at it, please tell me I will not do it again. And he's like, ah, sure. So I tried it. You know, I just kind of, like, you know, remembered how William would do it. And but to me, I wasn't, like, polished, you know. Mind you, this was never part of the plan. So I had no practice. This was like, oh, I just volunteered to do it. but I remember doing it, and I was like, man, this is really cool. Like, I get to play with my voice. I get to introduce the wrestlers. And it's like, you just, you know, you have the crowd listening to you. And to me, it felt like to me, I felt good in a sense, mostly because I guess you introduce like the wrestlers and the people get to know them, because it's an independent circuit, you know. Not everyone, I mean, let's be honest, not everyone really, you know, they wouldn't really know the wrestler unless they hear their names, right? Because it's not like WWE where there's like a jumbotron, you know, you see their name or whatever. This one, you have no clue which wrestler is going to come out, especially if that's their debut. You have no idea who they were. So to me, you know, I had like friends who were making new debuts that night too, and I felt like, oh my God, I need to do justice with, you know, saying their names, because this is going to be the first match of their lives. This is going to be the first time people will hear their names. I got to make sure I'm doing this right. So yeah, the first time I did it, I legit like just volunteered, and I'm glad I was given that opportunity. And you know, my promoter at that time, he let me try it, even though I've never done it before.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Like you said, it wasn't part of the plan, but it was something that you wanted to try, and you and your husband wind up going out to Arizona with this independent promotion, and it definitely paid off for you. And as you said, it's, even though it's with independent promotions, you're still doing your thing and you're making a dream come true. And we're going to get more into making a dream come true, specifically with the contest that you won with the WWE in just a little bit. But I want to speak just with you being a professional wrestling ring announcer. As you've mentioned, you've worked with independent promotions. Can you describe not only to me but to the listeners what's a typical day like, just in terms of the preparation that you do for an event, in terms of getting the wrestlers' names right and talking to them and making sure the crowd is hyped up? So can you go through us just how you would prepare for an event?
Oh, so for me, what I realized with doing pro wrestling events is that you can only prepare so much at the day of the show. Whatever you have prepped might just go down the drain. Mostly because some wrestlers, they don't end up showing up. Or, you know, so they, now they have to, like, you know, move people around. So now you're, like, notes of, like, you know, this wrestler fighting this wrestler. Now it becomes, like, you know, a whole different ball game. So to me, what I do is I just try to prepare, you know, as much as I can. You know, basically I would hit up all these wrestlers on Instagram or Facebook. And ask for their information, you know, height, weight, I'm sorry, not height, weight and nickname. I would also double check with the promoter if, hey, do you want me to mention their weight? Because some promoters, they don't want that. Some promoters, they want the whole, you know, whole spiel, like, you know, hometown, weight, and then nickname, and then, you know, the wrestler's name. Some promoters, they're just like, yeah, just introduce where they're from, who they are, that's it. So I double check that first with the promoter, and then I start hitting up all the wrestlers. At least I know that are part of the show. Because sometimes when you see their posters, the show's posters, you'll see like the pictures of the wrestlers. And if they don't have that, I would just ask the promoter, hey, who do you have so far on your card? Right, and they'll start hitting up these people. So that way, whether they end up, you know, sticking with the card, the planned card, the day of the show, or not, I do have their information, right? I'm not, like, scrambling to get these people's information the day of. Because to me, at least, you know, my mindset is that you can only control your own actions, right? You can only prepare what you can prepare. And to me, it makes you feel comfortable that I have my notes, because I think what's more nerve-wracking than just being in front of people, you know, is you have no clue what the hell you're going to say. You know, it's like, it's already, you know, I feel like people get nervous when they're in front of, you know, people, right? When you're standing in front and you're like, okay, a lot of these eyeballs are looking at you. But it's like, when you don't know what you're supposed to say, then it's more nerve-wracking. It's like, they're looking at me, I don't know what to say. So at least for me, if I have done my homework, I did, you know, I asked guys, hey, what's your information and all that. If I'm in the middle of the ring and these people are looking at me, okay, I know what to tell them. You know, I have something to say. So, yeah. And then even though there's last-minute changes, you know, the date of the show, I feel more comfortable because I have the information already. It's just about putting the pieces together. All right. Wrestler A will have a match against wrestler C now versus A and B. And so it's a lot of, like, note-taking for me.
You know what? People think about ring announcers, whether it be boxing, wrestling, or any type of combat sports, they automatically assume that the job is just easy because they have index cards and things of that nature. But like you said, Rain, it's different because when you don't have that preparation, or as you said, wrestlers could drop in and out of the competitions and stuff, and we don't have much to say. It can be nerve-wracking when people are watching you, and I think people neglect that aspect of being a ring announcer. And I want to say just with what you do, I've seen, well, you've seen it as well with ring announcers in different promotions be a part of the storylines from time to time. Are you a part of the storylines with the promotions that you've worked for or currently work for?
Yes and no. Because sometimes, I show up to a show and then I just, you know, sometimes depending on who shows up in terms of the wrestlers, sometimes they just have to, like, kind of improvise what the storylines would be. And then, you know, sometimes I'll get the whole, okay, Rain, you know, make sure you introduce so-and-so first, but, and then the second part, don't introduce the next guy because someone's going to grab your mic and la-la-la. So when you tell me someone's going to grab the mic, then to me it's like, you know, in my head, well, what's the natural thing for someone to do if someone just grabbed? Someone grabs your purse, your mic, whatever you're holding, right, you act scared. So to me, that's when I become a part of the story, when, like, the wrestlers, they yell at me or, you know, they grab my microphone and, you know, because it can't just be like, oh, you grabbed my microphone, smile. Like, do like that, you know. So to me, I become a part of the story. Sometimes I don't even know. Sometimes it's like the improv of pro wrestling, which I really love, because it's like you just act spinning in the ring, so... Sometimes it's not even planned that someone's going to yell at me, but, you know, I introduce them and they're trying to be mean and they, like, go up to my face and they yell at me. And it's like, later on, they're like, wait, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, like, yell at you or, like, be mean to you. And I was like, we're doing a show. You know? it's a show. It's not like, it's nothing personal. It's, you know, it's business, you know, when you're in the ring. Sometimes I have a heads up of like, hey, someone's going to grab your microphone, which, you know, to me tells like, okay, you're going to be a part of the story. It could be just like improv or in, it's like in the moment, you know, that they just kind of like grab the microphone for me, or they feel the vibe of me announcing and then they kind of just start dancing and I just kind of go with the flow with them.
People don't understand that when you're part of the storylines, it's all about having that timing. And like you said, it's not their personal, it's just business. And some people just kind of like, well, why are you doing this? But as you said, it's just a part of the show. And hey, it's all a part of the business. And definitely you're good at what you do. And speaking of being good at what you do, you are very good in winning the WWE announcer contest to be a part of the SummerSlam. How did you hear about the contest?
Oh, God. I remember waking up to text messages from two of my friends, and they're like, hey, Rain, have you seen this? And, you know, it's the it's an article about the WWE TikTok announcer contest. And I was like, no. But, like, my first reaction was like, oh, God, I don't even have TikTok. You know, I have no clue if this thing was, you know, happening. But apparently they posted on their social media. I mean, I have Instagram, so that's where I kind of got more of the information. But, I have two friends who, like, told me about it. And they're like, oh, my God, WWE's doing this thing. It's on TikTok. And mind you, like, at that time, this was, like, July of 2021. I started re-announcing March of 2021. Right? So it's like, I didn't know if I was good enough to do this contest. You know, in my head, I was like, I don't know what they're looking for. I just started ring announcing, and it's like, I don't really, you know, at that point of joining the contest, I think I've only done maybe 7 shows as a ring announcer, or 10, I think. I can't remember, but like, I didn't really think I was good enough to join the contest, you know. But my mindset was like, okay, well, it's free to join, so I just created a TikTok account. I didn't know how to use TikTok, so I had some of my wrestler friends teach me how to like get a video. And then, yeah, they were filming me and like, you know, showing me how to like post this on TikTok. And so I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to win this. Yeah, because you know how like on social media you can search the hashtag and you can see who else kind of posted something, you know, with that hashtag. And I've seen other people and I was like, man, they're really good. And my videos are basically like buried, you know, within like 10,000 videos. So it's like, I was like, they're not going to see my videos because you have to keep scrolling just to see one of my videos. So I was like, there's no way. But in my head, I was just like, well, it's free to join. I took it as it's a good way to practice too, because, you know, you record your voice introducing, because it's a TikTok duet video. You introduce John Cena, The Undertaker, Bianca Belair, Edge. So it's like, it's really cool to see, you know, yourself in a, you know, Q-Box video with, like, John Cena coming out. So I had fun doing the videos. So, yeah, in my head, I was like, I don't know if I'm good enough to do this. I just started ring announcing, so.
Thanks for sure. You were definitely good enough to enter the contest, and you wind up winning the contest to do the announcing at SummerSlam. Who made the call? Did you hear from Vince McMahon, or was it another staff member from WWE to let you know you won the contest? How did it happen?
Oh, it's someone from the WWE like staff. I think they're part of the social media department because they're the ones handling all the like the social media stuff for WWE. So it's one of them that reached out to me. And it was the week of SummerSlam, and it's crazy because it's like, I remember like that Monday before SummerSlam, I was like losing hope. I was like, there's no way. I haven't heard of anything. And then here comes like Wednesday, and then I heard that I won, and I was like, what? And then they're like, yeah, we'll fly you to Vegas on Friday night, and then Saturday morning we'll see you at the stadium. It's like, whoa, that's crazy. But yeah, I remember like finding out that I had won, and I just started crying, and I was just like on the floor crying, and my husband's like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And I couldn't talk. I just showed him, you know, my phone, and he's like, "Oh my God!" And you know, because he told me, he's like, "The chances of you winning is basically 1 in 1,000,000," and I was like, "If there's one shot for me to win this, I don't care if it's like a million, a billion. I have one shot. So at least I'm going to try for that one shot." And you know, I got it. So it was just like unbelievable. And, yeah, it was just like, I felt like from the day that I found out, so it was Wednesday, and then like Friday, just flying to Vegas, it felt like it wasn't real. Even when I got to the stadium, it still felt like it wasn't real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said before, you had been a fan of the WWE for so long. And then, as you said, you only had a 1 in 1,000,000 chance of winning, but you got it. And certainly, as they say, high risk, high reward. And you took a higher risk and you got a higher reward by winning the contest. And congratulations on that. I want to now talk about just that day, just arriving in Las Vegas for that SummerSlam. Just because not only can you tell me, but just tell the listeners out there just what was that day like, and just what was the crowd like, and just what was your role in being the contest winner?
Oh, God, I remember getting there really early at like 8:45 in the morning. This was like coming from, you know, the night before when I couldn't fall asleep, right? but yeah, I got there around 8:45, I think. And it's, you know, I think I was just like, I still wouldn't believe that this was all happening to me. So I remember getting to Allegiant Stadium. It was empty. But you could see like wrestlers coming in, and you're like, okay, this is, you know, stay cool. Yeah, because you think all these wrestlers and you're like, you know, I didn't want them. I mean, I am a fan. I will always be a wrestling fan, you know. But I also did not want them to see me as like, oh my God, like, you know, she's not like focused on what she needs to do. Right. So I, you know, I was just like, all right, I'm seeing these wrestlers. Cool. Just stay cool. Be professional, whatever. And then, they met up with us at the gate and they brought us in. They told me, okay, this is what you're going to announce. And they said, and then I said, so where's the other person? Because I thought there would be two winners. And they're like, what other person? I was like, oh, I thought there was going to be two winners. And they're like, no, it's just you. And I was like, oh. And they're like, are you more nervous now? And I said, actually, no. Like, I felt more special because it's like, in my head, like, oh, like, out of all, you know, the people that submitted their videos, somehow they chose me to do this. And I just felt really, really special and really, really thankful because they gave me that opportunity to kind of show everyone what I love to do. And I felt like, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, I didn't know how I would fit in this world, in the world of professional wrestling. And I felt like ring announcing wasn't part of the plan. And somehow it became a part of the plan. And it was something that I can contribute into, you know, the world of professional wrestling. Also, we had breakfast at the, you know, catering area. And it's really neat to, like, see, like, the wrestlers, you know, because, like, we would be walking around and introduce me. They're like, oh, you know, hey, Drew McIntyre. Like, oh, this is, you know, Aaron Cruz. You know, she won the contest. They're like, oh, congratulations. And so it's like there's a lot of that while we were walking around the stadium. And just being at the catering too, it's like you see Bobby Lashley and Goldberg and Liv Morgan. Like, we were about to sit down and she was about to get up and she actually like sat back and, you know, she, you know, chatted with us and so that was really nice. Just to kind of see like how, you know, everything was happening behind the scenes, you know, how all the wrestlers are just chill, right? I mean, they're all wearing their gear, but they're like just like normal people when you meet them backstage. I think at some point they told me, okay, we'll do a mic check, so we'll tell you when to go in the ring, blah, 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 so like a quick rehearsal. And, you know, while I was doing my thing in the ring, they were showing me where, you know, which camera to look at, where I'm supposed to be standing. And then while this was happening, you know, Matt Riddle was also in the ring. He was kind of like warming up and Charlotte Flair was on the other side. And it's just like cool to see, you know, it's like, in my head, like, I didn't, it's, you know, it's kind of like that feeling like, oh, I'm on the same stage as these people right now. Like, how is this happening to me? But yeah, it's really cool. And then after I did my sound check, my rehearsal, I got out of the ring and, you know, Molly Holly was there congratulating me. And then next thing you know, Beth Phoenix was congratulating me. At this time, we were still wearing masks, so I couldn't really tell who they were until, like, they tell me their name. And at some point during the day, I met Triple H, and he said, you know, don't be nervous, you know, just have fun. And that's what I did. I just, you know, had fun. And it was really cool to meet him, you know, because it's like, you know, Triple H, you know, it's like, whoa. But yeah, for him to say, okay, just have fun. To me, that was a, you know, really great advice from him. And I wanted to enjoy the moment, and that's what I did.
Wow, you indeed enjoyed not just that moment, you enjoyed a lot of moments at the SummerSlam. That was SummerSlam 2021 to be exact, and you met so many awesome wrestlers. You mentioned Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, also Liv Morgan, and you also saw Riddle, and you also had a chance to see Goldberg, and you also had a chance to meet Triple H, man. That was amazing right there. Did you have an opportunity to see Vince McMahon along with his daughter Stephanie?
No, I just saw Stephanie in the area, but I didn't see Vince McMahon.
Okay, I wanted to ask you now about the stadium in Las Vegas, where, of course, that's the home to the NFL's Las Vegas Raiders, Allegiant Stadium. How beautiful is that stadium?
Oh, wow. I remember walking around there, and, you know, while we were all walking around, you know, it was being told that, you know, that was the first WWE event at Allegiant Stadium. So they're also kind of like learning their way around the stadium. It's pretty neat, you know. It's like I've never been like in the middle of like a football field, and it's really cool to like be there and just kind of like look around and you see all like the seats around you, and it's crazy. The experience, it was like, I'm trying to think of like the best way to describe it, but I guess it's unbelievable for me, because it's like, you know, we're like in the middle of this football field, we see how, you know, you turn around and you're like, oh my God, this place is huge. And the inside, you know, the backstage area, like everything's new, and it's pretty neat. And I remember, you know, because they were still setting up, you know, the chairs when we got there, but at least most of them were already set up. I made a joke. I said, we're not cleaning up these chairs after the show, right? Because you know how, like, in the indie scene, you know, we all, like, you know, clean up after the show. So, I was looking around, there was, like, so many chairs. I was like, we're not, like, you know, throwing these chairs afterwards, right? They're like, no, no. I knew we didn't have to. I was just, like, in my head. I came from that environment, right? So all, like, helping out each other. So after a show, we all, like, kind of help each other, you know, clean up, too. So, yeah, it's a every time I see Allegiant Stadium on TV, it brings back great memories.
Wow, it just seems like a great atmosphere to watch, not just a football game, but just big events, and certainly I'm glad you had the opportunity to experience that with the WWE. And you mentioned about some of the wrestlers that you met backstage during breakfast and meeting some of them prior to the event. Did you have an opportunity to talk to any of the ring announcers or the commentators like Michael Cole during the event or leading up to the event?
I had the opportunity to talk to Mike Rome and Greg Hamilton. So they were basically helping me out, like, throughout this whole process. They're telling me, okay, because I remember asking Mike Rome, I said, hey, so how do you guys want me to announce this? Because I'm used to, like, kind of doing that, you know, like, I asked him, promoter, how do you want me to, like, announce this? Because it's like, are we going for, like, what vibe are we going for here, you know, because... And like you mentioned earlier, you know, people think that ring announcing is just like you're blurting out names there. In my head, it's about making people feel a certain type of emotion. Because it's a character that you're introducing. You're not just saying someone's name. This is a character. It's like, you know, think of it as... You're watching, like, this new trailer for a new movie, right? And you're like, you know, you can kind of gauge what type of movie it is based on the voice of, you know, that's being used on the trailer. That's how I picture ring announcing. So to me, it's like, you know, when I ask my friend, I was like, how do you guys want me to announce this? And then they're like, oh, the announcing part, it's up to you, like your style and all that. At least for because I announced Big E and Baron Corbin. Character-wise, Big E, you know, lively, positive, right? And then Baron Corbin, at that time, he was basically a loser. Like, he lost all of his money, whatever. So he went from, like, positive, super happy character with Big E to, like, the complete opposite, which is, you know, Baron Corbin, like, super low. Like, just no emotion. Or I guess the emotion is just, like, you know, you feel like... You're betraying that, you know, it's someone who lost everything, basically. So Mike Rome was like, yeah, just, you know, just kind of do your own style, whatever style you have when you're announcing, that's what you do. You don't need to copy anyone. You don't need to copy us. Just do your own style. But, you know, basically the emotion, that's what we're looking for. That really helped me because it's like, you know, The Rock had always said, you sell the emotion and the intention. And I think that's why, that's what kind of like differentiates people from each other, like the, you know, the talent, you know, from each other. Cause it's like, there's people who can like, you know, they're talented, they can do the moves, or they have, you know, voice wise, great voice, whatever, they can hit high notes, whatever. But it's like, it's about how you make people feel a certain type of emotion. So it's nice to like hear from Mike Rome and Greg Hamilton how they kind of, you know, prep and kind of, you know, do their ring announcing. I remember Greg Hamilton, he's like, you know, everything, things always change. Which I think that night, I think that was the same night that Becky Lynch made her comeback, and they didn't have any idea that it was going to happen. But I remember when it happened, he looked at me and he's like, I told you things change. So, you know, so it was good that I had them to kind of like guide me that day too, because it's like, it's a whole different level than compared to the indies. So, but yeah, it was nice that they're there. Michael Cole, I didn't really get a chance to talk to him, but after I did my announcing, he kind of walked by and he said, great job. Same as Pat McAfee, so.
Oh, wow, you definitely had an opportunity to talk to some heavy hitters such as Michael Cole and, of course, Pat McAfee. And then certainly you said it was a whole new ballgame for you going from the independent to the big time, so to speak. And I'm so glad that you had that experience working with the WWE. And I want to talk now just about the podcast that you have on your YouTube channel called The Rain Check, where you get an opportunity to talk to a lot of independent wrestlers and their journey. And just tell everybody about The Rain Check and how did it come about.
So The Rain Check, it's mostly like, let's see, it's kind of like a backstage interview type of, I don't want to call it a show, but like, my idea about The Rain Check is that I wanted the wrestlers to have like content to post on their social media to promote their matches, right? So my approach was like, I don't need you to be, it's not like kind of like an interview. They're in, we talk about their upbringing and how they started into wrestling and all that. It's mostly about them as a character. So I don't interview them as like, you know, like a, you know, a real self. I interview them as like the new wrestler. So for example, if there's like an upcoming show, you know, I talk to one, you know, a promoter that I know, and I'd be like, hey, you want to do a rain check? Because it's like, you have a show coming up. You want me to interview the guys, promote the match, whatever. And then, you know, a promoter tells me, yeah, sure. So I'll start hitting up these wrestlers, and I tell them, hey, look, I'm doing this rain check. I'll ask you about your upcoming match. You cut your promo, and then, you know, we can post it on your social media. And, you know, there's wrestlers that see, like, the opportunity and of, you know, creating this type of content, which I really, you know, I like that they see, like, the value of it, because it's like, I want them to be able to show their character, right? Because I feel like sometimes you go to a show, and, again, not WWE style, so there's no Jimbotron, you know? There's no video montage of what this character is. So I feel like social media is the best way for them to kind of show, you know what, this is my character, this is how I cut a promo. You know, so when the wrestlers, you know, they do the rain check with me, it's like, okay, this is an opportunity for them to be like, okay, this is my character, this is how I cut a promo. And they can post it on their social media.
Wow, it's definitely amazing right there how you've had the opportunity to, like you said, give the wrestlers an opportunity to speak their piece on a lot of things. Definitely good that you're doing this show, and certainly it's called The Rain Check, and I advise everybody to check it out. And while we're talking about just with wrestling or just life issues in general, mental health is something that it impacts everybody, no matter what walk of life you come from. And I know you being in the professional wrestling business and interviewing wrestlers and just the journey that you've gone through thus far, coming from the Philippines and coming to the States and achieving dreams, I want to ask you, how do you keep your mental health in check?
Oh, God. I try to stay positive all the time, because I feel like there's a lot of, like, you know, things that happen in our lives that could just make us, like, kind of hate, you know, the world. But on the other hand, there's a lot of things to be grateful for, you know. I sometimes think to myself, you know what, you know, my struggle right now, it could always be worse, right? And for me, when I feel like, okay, I can't really, like, it's too much, I just kind of, like, take a step back and, you know, I pray. I go to church every Sunday, and I feel like it's always, like, it's like a reset for me. It's, like, a really, really peaceful time for me to just kind of, like, you know, pull my heart out and, you know, whatever stress I have. And I basically just, like, you know, kind of release it, and I get, like, a reset for the whole week again. You know, I have my dogs, and they're both rescues, and it's crazy how they both started as foster dogs, and we ended up adopting them. And our first foster dog, his name's Joey, he's basically my emotional support dog. I got him after my grandpa had passed away in the Philippines. Very tough time for me, because I came from, like, my ultimate high, which was SummerSlam in August of 2021. A few weeks after that, I had to fly to the Philippines. This is still, like, pandemic, by the way. So it was just, like, flying to the Philippines during the pandemic. You know, it was just very hard. Like, I had to quarantine for 10 days at a hotel by myself. And then, you know, well, this was all happening while my grandpa was still in the hospital. And then, you know, I got out of the hotel. I still had to quarantine again at my godparents' home. And it's just, like, a lot of, like, trials, basically, just to be with my grandpa, which ultimately I didn't end up being with him because they wouldn't allow us to get into the hospital. And then he passed away. I went from, like, the ultimate high, SummerSlam, August 2021, and then, like, October, like, my grandpa passed away. And so when I came back to the U.S., I was just, like, it really hit me hard. And, you know, when we got our foster dog, it just really helped me emotionally through the grieving process. And I feel like there's always, like, outlets for all of us, healthy outlets that we can do to kind of help us go through stuff. You know, because I feel like everyone has something that they go through, and it, as much as we want to show that it's not really affecting us, I feel like the first step of, like, accepting that, okay, what happened really affected me this much, it helps us go through the healing process, and mentally it'll help us kind of, like, okay, I accepted that this is, you know, what's happening to me. And then mentally just kind of started thinking, okay, how do I resolve this? How do I, you know, how do I try to kind of get out of this situation? You know, and then just kind of find, like, an outlet, which, you know, for me, ever since I got my dog, I felt like helping dogs became like an outlet for me. And so mentally it really helped me kind of, you know, go through, you know, stuff that's happening in my life. And but yeah, things can be bad, but at the same time, if you have, like, a support system somehow, because I feel like support system is different for everyone, you know, but with me, I found my support through, you know, praying, going to church, and then I have my dog, so.
Well, my condolences to you and the loss of your grandfather, and certainly thank God for dogs, because dogs are such a wonderful emotional support, and certainly what you do to keep your mental health in check is definitely important with the spirituality. And again, Rain, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any websites that you have. Let the listeners know that as well.
Oh my God, thank you so much. So you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube by looking for Ringside Rain. And that's Rain, R-A-I-N-E. You can find, you know, my most recent Rain Anthem videos on my Instagram. I'm also on TikTok still. But for the most part, I keep my Instagram updated all the time. And if you are in the Southern California area, you are somewhere near Los Angeles, I started announcing for MMA as well.
Before I let you go, I know there's a lot of people out there that want to achieve dreams, but they may have run into some hurdles or some obstacles. They've had some setbacks, and you certainly achieved not just the American dream, but you've just achieved so much so far in your life, and there's definitely going to be more to come. Just from humble beginnings in the Philippines, coming over to the States, stumbling upon wrestling, so you've definitely achieved a lot thus far, and I want to ask you, do you have a message for anyone wanting to achieve their dreams despite any setbacks or obstacles? The floor is yours.
Oh, wow. The main thing is I remember when, right before I found out about the WWE TikTok announcer contest, John Cena came back. I think it was Money in the Bank. He came back, and then the next night, there was Money Night Raw. He came back, he comes out, he has a towel or a t-shirt or whatever. And he rolled out this towel, it says, never give up. And at that point in my life, I was just like, you know what? You know, I've been doing these independent shows, whatever. I mean, at that point, I was just like, you know, I was just starting anyway, but in my head I was like, is there really something here, you know? And then, I saw that, never give up. And every time I question myself again, is this where I belong? Is this, you know, is this worth it? I think about that moment when I saw John Cena. He said, never give up. Whatever dream you have in your heart, you know, we only got one life to live. And I feel like each day is an opportunity to get closer to what we want in life. It's never going to be easy, because if it was easy, everyone will be doing, everyone will be doing, what they've been dreaming of, right? But that's the thing. It's you just have to keep, pushing yourself. There's always going to be trials. There's always going to be challenges. But if you have that mindset of never give up. It'll help you keep going. Even if things don't seem to be working, I always believe we're being led to somewhere that's really meant for us, waiting for us. Just don't give up. Never give up. I think that's my attitude. Because if you do, then, then you're not getting closer to your dream if you give up right now. Just never give up.
Absolutely, and that's some strong words to live by, as you said, with John Cena, never give up, and that's definitely important no matter what you do in life. And Rain, one more time, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, any websites, let the listeners know that as well.
Oh, yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or YouTube. My username is Ringside Rain, and that's Rain with E-R-A-I-N-E.
You heard it from her. She's Rain Cruz, ring announcer, also a cage announcer in the MMA world, and also she's a voiceover artist as well, doing commercials and tons of narration work, and also the winner of the WWE announcer contest for the SummerSlam event in 2021. Rain, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Rain Cruz, wrestling ring announcer, also host of the Rain Check podcast, and also a voiceover artist. Again, a big special thank you to Rain for appearing on the program, talking about her upbringing, also her love for professional wrestling, and, of course, her 2021 SummerSlam experience. Until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.